Alhamdulillah, the older generation know Maulana quite well. So for the younger generation, since it is a youth program, we'll just give a very, very brief introduction of Hazrat Maulana. Maulana is from Port Elizabeth in the Eastern Cape. Currently, Maulana is 75 years old. Maulana studied in the late 60s, early 70s in Jalalabad in India under the auspices of Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali. Maulana stayed in Hazrat's company about 8 years, and Maulana has benefited tremendously and benefited others also with his majalis, with his zikr programs in Port Elizabeth. And today Maulana is here on his own. He took the initiative. Hazrat Maulana, the Amir of the Jamiatul Ulama Sadam, has mentioned this, that Maulana came here on his own accord, with his own wealth, with his own funds, and he came with this one concern. Maulana heard that there are certain concerns of the Muslims in the KZN region. So to address those concerns, Maulana is here with us, and inshallah with a message for the youth, inshallah. We invite Hazrat Maulana to address us, inshallah.
نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين صدق الله العظيم. Yes, indeed, KZN is overtaken with fear, concern and worry. It is natural in a human being. It's not something abnormal. My question to you is this: if that fear can solve our problem, fabiha, then by all means start fearing. If the anxiety can solve the problem, by all means fabiha, you proceed with the anxiety. It does not follow. It will not help. It will not aid us. What I want to say to you, the cheapest commodity in today's time is the blood and the honor of our Muslim brothers, sisters and children. There is nothing cheaper than that. Until that blood gains a color, Allah said, Sibghat Allah. Color your iman. Now when that blood gains color, Wallahi Lazeem, you will find the manifestation of that blood and the power of that blood. Countless examples. A young boy, Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala, was newly married. You look at your life, I look at my life. When we are married newly, where do we spend our time? Where is the fikr? Where is the concern? Where is the worry? The hadith says, Man ja'ala al-humuma hamman wahida. Whosoever shall make his fikr, his concern, his worry into one worry. What is that worry? The akhirah. You can rest assured. Kafallahu ta'ala hammad dunya. Allah will be alongside you to look after all your problems. And I always say, two things I would like to emphasize. The tawheed and taqween. These are two important factors. Islam is based on tawheed. Without tawheed, there is no Islam. Without tawheed, there is no amal in the eyes that will be accepted. What is the definition of tawheed? Tawheed is the salient feature of Islam. The fundamental principle or pillar of the tawheed is ilm. When sound ilm, proper ilm, ilmun nafi'ah, when it penetrates the heart, is a condition of the heart. When it penetrates the heart, it motivates the human being. It encourages a human being. It forces you and compels you to believe in the majestic sifat and qualities of Allah Rabbul Izzah. amongst all the sifat, many sifat Allah has, the pure and majestic qualities. The one that directly impact on our lives is the sifat, the quality, the attribute of tadbir. What is tadbir? Since Allah Rabbul Izzat created the heavens and the earth and creation, the quality, the attribute of tadbir takes place. Simple terms to make us understand, Allah cares for the makhluk. Every second, every moment that passes, it passes under the tadbir of Allah. Let me make it clear to you, many of us, Allah has blessed us, we have aql, intellect, we have degrees, we have businesses, we are rich. What do we feel? My business, my intellect, my aql, my expertise. The majestic sifat of Allah, amongst them the tadbir, Allah elevates people. Allah debases people. Allah makes some rich, Allah makes some poor. Allah makes some healthy and strong, Allah makes others weak. Allah makes certain people, physically they are always healthy, others He makes sickly. This is the tadbir of Allah, this is the taqween of Allah. The master plan of Allah Rabbul Izzat will never ever change. Not a single power on the surface of the earth, no army can ever change the taqween of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The condition we are in, it is the taqween of Allah Rabbul Izzat. No person on the earth has the capabilities to change the taqween. Not the Prophet, not the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam has the qudrat. This is the master plan of Allah. And this plan of Allah, the tadbir of Allah, the taqween of Allah, the system of Allah is absolutely, it is perfect with wisdom, hikmat, and the betterment for the ummah. The divine intervention of Allah, no nation can survive. We as the ummah will never be able to survive without the divine intervention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, we need that divine intervention. And I always say to you, do not say, where is the water? Let me go and search for water. Create the talab. What type of talab? What type of urge? Sadiq, be honest in your talab. Wallahi al-azim, Allah will send the water. Do not say, Mata Nasrullah, when is Allah's Nusrat gonna come? Aina Nasrullah, where is Allah's Nusrat? Create the environment. You want to know that in the Battle of Badr what happened? The Malaika came to assist. They were on horses with swords in their hands. Oh Allah, you ask yourself, where is that Battle of Badr? Where is the effect of that? Create the urge, the thirst, and create the platform of the Battle of Badr. Wallahi al-Azim, you will find Allah's Nusrat. Till the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah's Nusrat is with us. Therefore, we must not divert that Nusrat. We must not prevent that Nusrat from prevailing. And who is responsible for that? Every individual in your society. Give you a simple example. In the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, this great prophet of Allah, he experienced a phase, drought, famine has overtaken the land. I imagine these great, great prophets. He went to the mountain and he cried upon Allah, animals are dying, people are dying, Allah. You can bring any type of weapon, any army, it will never assist you. What do you need? The divine intervention of Allah. Allah instructed him, make Salatul Istisqa. For 3 days he made the Salatul Istisqa. Not a single drop of water. He went back and said, Allah, you commanded me to make Salatul Istisqa. No water. Allah said, there is one person in the entire nation, the entire community, who has not made sincere tawbah. What we said? Talab al-Sadiq. You must be honest and sincere. Because Allah only accepts that which is pure, that which is filled with taqwa. He went back, he made the announcement. Whilst making that announcement, that person within himself was reduced to tears. Allah, my sin is the cause of the difficulty. Allah, I ask you to forgive me immediately, Allah. And while this person was crying, Talib al-Sadiq, Allah transformed those tears into what? Rain clouds. It started to rain. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was taken aback. Ya Allah, what is this? Allah said, that person made repentance and tawbah. What type of tawbah? A tawbah that is filled with ikhlas. Immediately he responded, oh Allah, I would like to meet that person. Look at the rahmah, the compassion, and the mercy of Rabbul Izzah. Allah said, when he was a sinner, I did not expose him. Now that he made repentance and tawbah, do you think it's proper that I must expose that person? Our relation, Allah's relation with his servants, is one of rahmah and mercy. In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there was a sahaba by the name of Ma'is. What we say? Taqwa. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam once stood up among sahabas. The sahaba said, فَقَامَ فِينَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ فَوَعَذَنَا مَوْئِذَةً بَلِيغَةً وَجِلَتْ مِنْهَا الْقُلُوبُ وَظَرَفَتْ مِنْهَا الْأُيُونَ. Once the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood in the midst of sahaba, he delivered a powerful speech, eloquent. And what? They said, the impact of that speech, it moved the hearts. The hearts were vibrating. Tears were flowing from sahabas. And I say to you, and I say to myself, do you ever cry for the fear of Allah? Be honest. If somebody damaged your car, you will cry. Somebody took your wealth, you will cry. Do you cry for the fear of Allah Rabbul Izzah? Question yourself. These sahabas, they were mountains on their own in the battlefield. Every sahaba was an army on his own. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Wallahi al-Azim, I take a qasam on Allah's name. Wallahi al-Azim, ana la akhsha min jayshi al-adu. There was not a single battle that I fought. The enemies, they were like mountains. There was no fear in the heart of Umar. Innama ana akhsha min jayshi al-dhunub. I fear the forces of sin. Question yourself. Ask yourself. We need Allah's nusrat. You make me mom, Dr. Saab, you can pack up your bags and say, I'm going for Umrah, Assalamu alaikum, I'll meet you after Hajj, next year Hajj and come back. That's not going to solve our problem. Your wife, your children are left behind. How would you like to die, like a chicken? Or do you want to die like a lion? When we speak of jihad, without an atom of doubt, the most powerful warriors ever to be born on the surface of the earth, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Khalid bin Walid, Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, and the likes of them. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for 8 years, he took up arms and he fought in the path of Allah. We say, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. You all agree, he's رَحْمَةٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. The speech of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is rahmatul lil alameen. His dress code is rahmatul lil alameen. His appearance, his walk, his shape, his size is rahmatul lil alameen. He taught the ummah to make wudu. It is rahmatul lil alameen. He taught us how to perform salah. It is rahmatul lil alameen. He taught us how to eat. What we say? Rahmatul lil alameen. He taught you how to get married. It is rahmatul lil alameen. He taught you how to stay with your wives. It is rahmatul lil alameen. And at the same given time, he taught this ummah how to declare war, how to fight a jihad, how to attack your enemies. There is not a single religion, a divine religion, not a religion that is made, that has not commanded his followers to declare war. Allah said in the Holy Quran and not Hafizul Quran,
يقاتلون في سبيل الله فيقتلون ويقتلون وعدا عليه في التوراة والإنجيل والقرآن. Allah said, you fight in the path of Allah and you exchange your life for Jannah. Allah has went into agreement to us. And Allah taught you how to fight. You first slay your enemies, you kill your enemies, and while fighting and killing your enemies, you must expect to die also. And Allah said, this is the promise in the Torah, in the Injil, and in the Quran. Why am I saying this to you? The one aspect of our iman and deen we are neglecting. There is no army in the world, no government that will abandon their army, abandon their police force. If they do that, what will happen to that nation? In like manner, what will happen to our community? So I said, the blood and the honor of mu'min is the cheapest. Until that blood gain color. Now we look at the life of Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala. On his wedding night, he was about to have a ghusl contained in his hand, and the adhan was given, Hayya ala al-jihad, Hayya ala hifadati rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Come forth for jihad, rise up to the call for the defense of Allah and Allah's Rasul. He said to himself, if I pour this water, I might just delay. And he dropped the water down, put on his armor, took his weapon, and went straight into the battlefield. The battlefield was presented to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He addressed the Sahabas. What did he say? Inna sahibakum nazal al ma'araka junuban. Your friend, your companion entered the battlefield in a state of junub. He was impure. Fakharra ala al ardi shahidan. He was martyred on the battlefield. That blood was so valuable it moved the heavens and the earth. Fa'amara Allahu ta'ala al malaikatu. Allah instructed the malaika, go down to the earth. And to ghassilu, and give him a ghusl. When that blood gains color, it moves the heavens and the earth. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he gave instructions to people when they went out in jihad. Now these are lessons that we take home and we learn. We are a minority within a minority, and I always say to you, this is a time that we stand up and I speak to our youth. Now I know a lot of them are going to say, this old man came from PE, he can't even walk properly, he's talking of jihad. Dr. Zab, I do accept it, but I'm going to answer you, and you listen to the answer, my children. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even on the day of Eid, he would dismount from the mimbar. He would embrace the Sahabas, he will give them instructions and commands and send them out on the day of Eid. The fear of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his desire was what? The two superpowers at our doorstep. We must put an end to that superpower. Now, we spoke of taqweem. No forces, no power will change that taqweem. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote two letters. And he dispatched those letters, one to the Persian Empire and one to the Roman Empire. When the Roman Emperor received the letter, he read the letter and he addressed his people and said, let me give you some advice. And they listened to him. He said, did you see these Arabs? They follow the Nabi to the full. They abstain from khamr, drinking, its byproducts. They keep away from zina. They please their creator. Let me tell you something. Soon, the throne and what is beneath my throne, it will leave. So I give you advice. It is time now that you change your lifestyle and make repentance. Who is this? A Christian. Because soon they will overtake you because of their iman and taqwa. On the other hand, when the emperor of the Persian Empire received the letter, he did not read the letter, but he shredded and tore the letter. And the messenger came back and he related to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is what we experience. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Mazziku kulla mumazzaq. As we have shredded that letter and tore that letter, Allah, you tear his empire and you shred his empire. Not a single bullet was fired. Not a single bomb was dropped. Only the word that Allah, you shredded. The taqween of Allah is a lengthy story. I don't know, should I touch on the story because of the time? But don't forget, I always say to you people, my personal opinion is, the days are gone, you see, where we could eat a sheep, and the output will be 2 sheep. Today we can scarcely eat a slice of bread. You can imagine what the output is. Spiritually it is the same. The intake, the focus is of that level. So therefore I always say to people, 15, 20 minutes, 25 minutes is enough for the bayan, so you can at least digest it. And at the same time I'm going to tell you something also. If you feel this old man came here to give nasiha and advice, and you feel that advice, it's against your grain, then you dust it off. And if you feel it's got any benefit, put it into your pocket, put it in the safekeeping, inshallah it will help you. Because your situation, I'll be honest with you, it is extremely difficult, extremely complex, it is not easy. So I cannot tell you that I'm in the position to tell you, okay, do this, do that, and inshallah you solve it. It is not a one bullet solution. No, it is one person that can solve the problem. It is our community. Don't forget, our relation with Allah is one of rahmah and mercy and compassion. Right? And I promise you, Allah Rabbul Izzat is looking at His servants. One person in the Bani Israel changed the entire community. Likewise, Allah is looking at us. The malaika are with you. My servants are crying. They're in difficulty. They're in pain. They're in hardship. Allah speaks to His angels. They need help and assistance. This is where your iman and your taqwa come in. So what I said, not a single bullet was fired. Look at the taqween of Allah. Look at the master plan of Allah. The emperor of the Persian Empire was old. Now children, take ibrat and learn from this, because I always say, every time when we sit in a majlis, whenever we sit, there is something that we can learn and we can take home and we can make amal. Something to improve our lives. So he saw that my father is old. And he looked at the kingdom. And he said, okay, I will take hold of the kingdom. Now look at the taqween of Allah, the master plan. So what he did, he decided. The emperor, his wife was extremely beautiful. Children, you listen to this, I mean. We are prepared to sell our mother and father, we are prepared to sell our honor and dignity when you see something attractive. What is behind and what is inside that attractiveness, Allah knows best. So nevertheless, she was the most prettiest, the most beautiful woman in the kingdom. And he fell in love with his stepmother. And he decided, I must assassinate and I must kill my father. But before he did that, he killed all the senior generals. Now look at the taqween of Allah, how it works. The father came to know. So where he keeps the special treasures, because don't forget the emperor, the Persian Empire was extremely rich. So where he kept his special treasures, that special department, he kept a little bottle there, and he wrote that this bottle enhances your sexual strength. And it was not long when he assassinated and he killed his father. And he opened the safes and the vault, and on the table he saw this and he said, this is what I want. In the meantime, the mother committed suicide when she heard that the stepson wanted to marry her, he wanted to take her as a slave.
So he, when he saw that, he said, this is what I need. I don't need anything else. And as he drank it, it was poison. He passed away. There was nobody in the kingdom now that has the capabilities in the family besides a few ladies. And this is how the kingdom was given to a woman. When the message was given to the Holy Prophet, he said, never ever will a kingdom be successful if the Amir is a woman. Only one word, Allah Yushrig. And the Holy Prophet said, never ever will they be able to rise in strength again. It was not long when they took him over. Now this is the taqween of Allah. This is how we invite the divine intervention of Allah. So Sahaba Ma'ayith radiallahu ta'ala, he went to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, qad zanaytu. O Prophet of Allah, I committed zina. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned his face away. He went to the other side and he said, Ya Rasulullah, tahirni. Purify me, O Allah. O Rasulullah, I need to be purified. He went to that side and he said, Ya Rasulullah, qad zanaytu. He said, is your companion, might be he's insane, or he's under influence of alcohol? Sahaba stood up, he said, O Prophet of Allah, no, he's not insane. The relationship is one of rahmah and mercy, compassion. When there was no other means, the Holy Prophet would take him out and stone him. And he was stoned to death. And people were talking of his evil, and it reached the Mubarak ears of Rasulullah. And what did he say? Wallah, bear in mind, لَقَدْ تَعْبَ تَوْبَةً نَسُوحًا لَوْ قُسِمَتْ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي لَوَسَعَتْهُ. The sincere tawbah that it made, it moved the heavens and the earth. If that tawbah had to be distributed amongst my ummah, it would be sufficient for their tawbah. This is what we call talab sadiq. To be honest, to be sincere in your actions and deeds, especially at the time of fitan and fasad. Now he delivered the speech, his heart started to vibrate, Sahaba said, and they shed his tears. What did he say? Satarawna min ba'di umuran tunkirunaha isbiru hatta talqawni ala al-hawd. وفي رواية سترون من بعد اختلافا شديدا وعليكم بالسنة وسنة خلفاء الراشدين المهديين. You will witness a time, you will experience the time, the fitan, the fasad, the corruption will be more powerful than the waves of the ocean. Tamuju kamauji al-bahr, like how the waves move in the ocean, that fitan and fasad will overtake you. Your eyes will witness it, you will experience it, you will detest what is transpiring in front of you. Therefore my nasiha unto you is steadfast on your deen until you meet me at the Hawd al-Kawf. Nothing will save this ummah. Absolutely not. Not your wealth, not your strength, not your capabilities. Solely and only the divine intervention of Allah Rahman. We need to invite that divine intervention. In another riwayat, what he said? Alaykum bi taqwa Allah. Hold fast to your deen. Inculcate into your life the taqwa of Allah. And here we gave you two examples. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah only accepts amal that is full of taqwa. Now I say to you, we're not short of teachers. We're not short of doctors. We're not short of lawyers. We're not short of military personnel. We're not short of ulama. We're not short of muftis. We're not short of hufadh al-Qur'an. Is your neighborhood a better place to live in? Is it a safer place to live in? You answer the question. Is it a safer place to live in? In spite of all the expertise we have, why? Our lives, our actions, our deeds, it's void of taqwa. There is no ikhlas. There is no longer sincerity in what I do. So therefore, to invite the divine intervention, what do we need? We need to be honest. We need to be sincere. Khalid bin Walid, radiallahu ta'ala,
he besieged a fort for days and days. Things could not go in, it could not come out. Eventually they decided, let us go into negotiation. Now what I say in our strategy, I mean, I'll be honest with you, coming to KwaZulu-Natal, I've learned a lot of lessons. I draw inspiration from you people, alhamdulillah. You got good structures, you got good ulama, you got capable people. Today we were at the training ground there, we did a little bit of training there, I mean, and I saw the capabilities of your youth and your expertise. And I will take that back to my people and share it with them. Because in jihad, you need everything. As I said, we will engage with the tribal leaders. We will engage with government. We will engage with the police force. We will engage with our contact. It is one nation that does not want confrontation. We are a nation that does not want trouble. We will not intimidate people. But I say to you and I say to myself, if our back's on the wall, what must we do? Therefore, those of you in community who has the capabilities, you should go forward and present your case to government. We should continuously ask them for help. But at the same given time, I know, you know, what is our strategy. We will not compromise their strategy. So nevertheless, he besieged the fort. So they sent the wise man to negotiate. Now all these things are part and parcel of our strategy that we learn from the Holy Prophet. In the battle of Khandaq. Now don't forget, take this message home to your wives and children. Ummi Salama radiallahu anha, she was one of the mujahideen that was in that battle. She said, in my entire life I attended many battles with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the most severest and the most difficult battle that I experienced, and I could see the effect on the face of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, was the battle of Khandaq. Why? 3,000 sahabas, ill-equipped, faced up with 15,000 strong, fully equipped army, highly experienced. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the Holy Prophet continuously made dua. When you go now to Medina, what do you get there? Masjid al-Fatah. The history of that Masjid al-Fatah, they put a tent there and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would go in and out the tent. He was restless. He would make dua to Allah each and every day. And she said, I could witness and I could experience that. The taqween of Allah was as such, that particular battle, Medina was extremely cold. There was ice. Now imagine, the most powerful, the most beloved of Allah's creation, he had to go through this test and trial. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a mashura with his sahabas. There was no need for him to make mashura. Revelation was not revealed upon the sahabas, only on the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His decision was final. His decision and judgment was the decision and the judgment of Allah Rabbul Izzah. But yet, he called the sahabas and he said, what should we do? How should we go about this battle? Allahu Akbar. This is what we say to you. Rally under one Amir. Select your Amir. Create that fikr, that concern. What they said, man ja'ala al-humuma hamman wahida. Whosoever makes his fikr, his concern into one fikr, you can rest assured, Allah will look after all your fikr of the dunya. Example. Hazrat Dirar radiallahu anhu, he was in the battlefield. In the thick of battle, his horse collapsed. You can imagine an animal that is so strong cannot take the impact of the battle. He jumped off his horse, did not look at the enemy. He held the horse by his manes and he said, Wallah, if you do not rise and go into battle, I will report you to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah when we meet at the Hawd al-Kawthar. The horse stood up. It went into battle. Aqaba radiallahu ta'ala, he was appointed by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to take an army to Africa. When he arrived in Africa, he was astonished and he was amazed. It is not Medina, it is not Makkah, it is not desert, it is a jungle. And when he looked at all these animals, lions and tigers, He stood on the mountain and he gave a khutbah. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu said, I witnessed this khutbah. Never in my life did I see anything more unique than that khutbah. What did he say in the khutbah? Ya ayyuhal hasharat wal bahaim. Let it be known to you, animals of prey. And whoever is in this valley, nahnu ashabu rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna nazilun. Let it be known to you, we are the followers of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am proceeding with an army to camp here, to settle down here. And he drew his sword after my announcement. Wallahi, I take an oath on Allah's name, I will challenge you. Not a single animal will survive. Wallahi, the heavens moved and answered the call. The lions took their babies, the snakes in a row, and they start moving. Salman Farsi radiallahu said, never in my life did I witness anything more unique than the khutbah that was given to the animals. Hazrat Safina radiallahu ta'ala, he was appointed a special task force. He had extremely difficult in the army. He was left at the back of the army to pick up the lost belongings. Now don't forget, you're always exposed to the enemy. So when Sahabas were instructed to leave, they picked up their belongings and they continued. They stopped over at night, they set up camp. So as they were leaving, he was right at the back and he started collecting the belongings. It wasn't long when the enemy spotted him and they caught him and they captured him. And they said, it's darkness of night, tomorrow we will assassinate him, we will behead him. During the course of night, he managed to open up the tines and he got down the mountain. When he got down the mountain, immediately a lion was looking for its prey and the lion approached him. Two types of fear. One is khawfa tabi. One is khawfa aqli. Tabi is that when you see something sometimes in the night and you get a shock, it's normal, it is natural. But the aql is this, you remind yourself, above that is there a power. Above that Allah gave us the capabilities, gave us the intellect to defend and do something. Therefore in the hadith they said, when you see a snake, kill the snake before it harms you. So when he saw that, he got a shock, and after that, with great ease and comfort, he spoke to the lion as the lion approached, do you know who am I? Nahnu ashabu rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are the followers. I've been given instructions. Nothing will deter me to fulfill that instruction. The lion sat down, indicated with his tail, he must follow him. And the sahaba followed him through the night of darkness, through the forest. They said whenever there was danger, the lion was there in front of him. And he brought him to the camp of Rasulullah, and where the tent of the Holy Prophet was, he left him there. The following morning, after the performance of Fajr Salah, Sahaba met the Holy Prophet and he said, Ya Rasulullah, this is what I experienced. Do not forget, Allah Rabbul Izzat is above you. He is watching every harakat, every movement, everything we say, how we say it, how we do it. Allah looks into the heart. So this old man came out and to negotiate. Let us get to a deal. So as he approached Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, he spotted there was a bottle in his hand. And he said to the old man, what is in your hand? And he said, I would not like to return to my people and give them bad news and to put them into stress. If our negotiations is not good, I will take this poison. It is the most deadliest of poison in the kingdom. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, not going to negotiate, he told him, give me that poison. Bismillahilladhi la yadhurru ma min shay'in fil ardi wa la fis samai wa huwa samiul alim. What the hadith said, whoever shall read this three times in the morning, you will be protected throughout the day. Whosoever shall read it in the evening three times throughout the night, you will be protected. So speak to the ulama, let they write it down for you. Extremely powerful this dua. And then he drank the poison. This old man got a shock and he hastened to the fort and he said, how are you going to fight against a nation that the most deadliest of poison mean absolutely nothing to them? That the deer of Allah is more important to them. What did they say? Khudh hadha al-miftah, take the keys of the fort and you enter. the divine intervention of Allah, the help and the aid of Allah. The hadith said, in the dunya khuliqat lakum wa innakum khuliqtum lil akhirah. This dunya was created, Allah's fadl. The entire dunya was created to serve man. And man was created to serve Allah. Now I ask you a simple question. Some people are worshipping the sun. The sun was created to help us and aid us. What are the mushrik doing? They're worshipping the sun. Allah gave you a beautiful business, prosperous business. What are you doing from morning till evening? Where is my fikr? Where is your fikr? Where is our fikr? Question yourself. The business was given to you to serve you. To serve you how? That you must make Allah's ibadah. Have you got time for that? Allah speaks in Hadith Qudsi. Yabna Adam, tafarraq li ibadati. Look at the compassion, look at the love, look at the mercy, look how Allah dress His servants. Oh my slaves, oh my servants, take out time to make my ibadah. Take out time to remember me. Take out time to make my dhikr. And I will fill your hearts with contentment. I will put richness in my heart. And bear in mind that if you neglect me, let your business overtake you, then I will cause your hands daily to work. From morning till evening, you will labor, but I will never remove from your eyes poverty. What are you experiencing? Let us be honest, myself and you. The first fikr when you wake up in the morning is what? Your first phone call in the morning is what? Do you phone Allah? Do you speak to Allah? I ask you a simple question. If you miss your Fajr Salah, do you say to yourself, I'm closing my business? Because why did I miss my Fajr Salah? How many of us go to business and we say, I'll make qada when I come home? So when Umar radiallahu anhu sent his forces into battle, now let me just explain you something. This is very important. Every little action and deed of ours affects myself. Some sins we say is lazim, some we say muta'addi. These are technical terms. What does this actually mean? Some sins I commit, we commit, it affects me or my little family there. Those are lazim sins. A muta'addi sin is what? When you commit certain sin, it spreads in the community and society. It affects everybody. Amongst that is ma'amalat. Amongst that is dishonesty. It affects the entire community. There was a delegation. Oh, there was some business people, the caravan reached Syria. So the emperor said, summon the sahabas that came from Medina, let me speak to them. And they said to them, the emperor said, I just want information. Can you describe to me your Amir al-Mu'mineen? Who is he? Now only sahabas had the ability. In two words, they described the Amir, their king, their leader. They said, La yaghda wa la yughda. Only two words. Our Amir is a person, he does not deceive anybody, nor is he deceived. What did the emperor say? You will never, now they take, the oath on the cross. They believe in the cross, you see, he took an oath on the cross. You will never be able to deceive, you will never be able to defeat the Amir al-Mu'mineen. Why? La yakhda, he does not deceive anybody. This is the quality of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. La yakhda, you cannot deceive him. This is the quality of kings. His intellect is of that level. You'll never be able to defeat him. And that was exactly the honesty that he spoke. And Umar conquered them. Now when he sent his forces out into battle, he did not look at the numbers, nor look at the equipment. Four things he gave them. And introduce this, inshallah, into your combat. Wallah, I promise you. Like I say to you sometimes, you get, we say genuine and non-genuine or fake. In the former days, now you don't get it, when you used to come and visit the people, you used to find there used to be artificial bananas, artificial apples, but you don't get them today, am I right? Now those apples used to be more expensive than the apples in the market. They used to make them extremely beautiful. So sometimes a fake and imitation has the effect. So we say, Allah, we are not of that level, Allah. But we are fake. But we're going to try to imitate the genuine things. Hopefully that your mercy will encompass us. Number one, he gave his commanders instructions. And this is what we must give off to our people when we are in combat. Ittaqillaha mastata'. Fear Allah as much as possible. The effect of taqwa is, you will witness it. I always say to you, read the Quran with your eyes, you will see the words of the Quran. Read the Quran with your heart, you will find the love of the Quran. Read the Quran with your mind, you will find the meaning of the Quran. And read the Quran with your soul, wallahi al-azim, you will find Allah in the Quran. This is what we call taqwa. So fear Allah as much as possible. Number two, وَصَلِّ صَلَاةً لِمِيقَاتِهَا. Make sure that you perform your salah at the prescribed time. Do not delay your salah. Do not be lazy in your salah. Laziness, delay in salah is a sign of nifaq. Nifaq is the opposite of taqwa. So question yourself and ask yourself, how particular are you in establishing the salah? These are the ways and means that we invite the rahmah and the mercy of Allah, the divine intervention of Allah. Number three, إِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ فَحْكُمْ بِالْعَدْلِ. When you are sitting in judgment, when you're sitting with people and advising them, make sure there is justice in your words, there is justice in your decisions. Now, when the Muslims were conquering the Romans, when they were in Syria, city upon city, village upon village, the emperor became extremely angry and he appointed a person to assassinate Umar radiallahu anhu. He gave him a huge sum of wealth. They were extremely rich. Gold, diamonds, whatever there was. And he said, your duty is to assassinate Umar radiallahu anhu. We come back to the taqween. When he reached Medina, look at the taqween of Allah. As I said, no power, no nation, not even the Prophet will be able to change the taqween of Allah. It happened so that Umar radiallahu anhu was on the outskirts of Medina. And when he saw Umar, he hid himself in the tree and he camouflaged himself. He went out to look after the orchards of the yatim to check on it, whether it is there's care taken, the fruits that it provides, so the yatim can eat of this. When he was finished, he decided to sleep. No bodyguards, no weapons, nothing. Iman, taqwa, sawli in Allah. He took a stone, a rock, he put it behind himself, and he went into a deep slumber. Who is this? The king of the civilized world. When this person saw that Umar is fast asleep, he decided to utilize the opportunity to assassinate him. And as he took out his instrument, his spear, his dagger, whatever it might be, suddenly a lion appeared. He started to lick the finger, the hands of Umar radiallahu anhu and the feet of Umar radiallahu anhu. And he was astonished and amazed. And as Umar woke up, wiping his eyes off, the lion disappeared. He jumped down the tree. He fell at the feet of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Umar said, sajda and worship is solely and only for Allah. Stand up. Who are you and what you want? And he said, O Umar, the wild animals in the forest are commanded to take care of you. The jinns are scared to walk on the road of Umar. The malaika instructed to honor Umar. The voice called from the heavens, O Umar, you are just, therefore you are safe. He took the hands and he kissed the hands of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And what did he say? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Now I say to you and I say to myself, make me mark, this is one of the message I give. We have a huge problem in society. When it comes to inheritance, people died many years, great-grandfather, and they left stuff. At the time when you invested that particular money in property, it was worth a little. Today you looked at what you can fetch for that property. So immediately, your mind, your attitude, your judgment change. Do not forget that affects the entire society. If I'm wrong, you must correct me. A person come to you, he wants a loan, he touch on the Quran, he brings his Quran here. No, no problem, I trust you, you are a very good Muslim, no need to write anything. When the person needs the money and he asks him, what does he say? Why, I can't remember actually visiting you and I don't know what you're talking about. Fair enough, you'll get away. But the impact of that is very severe. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas, what did he say? That when this ummah embarks on deceitful actions, Allah takes away your barakah. How does that barakah leave? In different ways. People can steal your wealth, they can destroy your wealth, they can steal your property, they can destroy it. Different ways. He said, when you are not just, then Allah appoints an enemy over you. So I look at my life, and you look at your life, and we said, Allah, it is time for us to make repentance. Who knows? Years have gone by, now I realize, I have listened to this, let me make repentance and tawbah, let me go to the person, let me go to the heirs and tell them, inshallah I'll make arrangement. Who knows? That little amal might not seem to be much in our eyes, but in the eyes of Allah, it means a lot. This is how Allah's rahmah and Allah's mercy will descend, inshallah. May Allah give us tawfiq and guidance. And what I say to you, there are preparations, you've got very, very good structures. So, as a weaker nation, as a weaker community, we are not in that position to do what the military do. Right? Our hands are tied up to a certain extent. But our relation with Allah, that channel with Allah rahmat, is always open. And that is the channel we're going to use. So in combat, the strategy and the approach, it's a multiple approach. You prepare yourself mentally, physically, financially, morally. You get together, whatever you can prepare, prepare that. And as I said, one of the power that we have is dua. Turn to Allah, continuously to make dua. Who knows, Allah will divert, He will remove that difficulty that we are faced up. Because everybody is gripped in fear. What must you do? We cannot sit back. We have to do something. There must be some harakah. There must be something that we must do. And what are we going to do? From various angles we're going to approach it. We appeal to the youth and the children. We know that sometimes the adrenaline is very high in the youth compared to the old people. So when anything happens, I mean, you want to draw and you want to fire, please do not do anything without the commands and the instructions of the Amir. There's always khair, there's always barakah in it. Now that finer points, you people will discuss it, you know the area. So I don't want to embark on that. There have been many meetings taking place throughout the province. They are very capable people that Allah Ta'ala has given you. Allah has taken work from them. So we appeal to them that they must be in the forefront to assist you. Lana, we ask you to make a small little dua. No? Look, I know you want to ask questions and everything, but now these questions will go right till 12 o'clock. So I refer you to your local amirs and your locals that are in training, inshallah. I know you've got a lot of questions to ask. I leave it to them. Dr. Saab, is it the right thing that I'm doing? Okay. Anybody want to ask anything? Anybody want to say something? Don't forget now, I told you, I'm not here. Because Nokia, tomorrow I don't want to get home. And he said, you know, this old man came from Port Elizabeth. I don't even know him properly.
He said, you must do this, that and that. And then what did he pack his bags and he left us? Look at the musibah. So I want you within yourself to decide what you want to do. So if there's any questions, you can ask. Alhamdulillah, you people spare me because I am tired. Allah, I must say, shukran lillah, alhamdulillah. Is there anything you people say? Ji? Okay. He wants the advices. Four nasiha he gave us. Ittaqillah fi Allah. Be just when you're giving a decision. Be particular in your salah. And when you face your enemy, wadhkurullaha dhikran kafira. Look at the advice he gave. When you are in combat and you are forming your lines and you're about to attack, what did the Holy Prophet said? Fadbudu wadhkurullaha dhikran kafira. Do not turn your backs. Be brave. Be courageous. Have the valor to strike your enemies. But do not forget. Remember Allah in abundance. To give you an idea, as good as brother mentioned this. I'm going to say to you now, make me mal. When Imam Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam come, is he going to sit on the musalla here and make zikr? When Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam come back to the earth, is he going to take a tasbih and he's going to make zikr? Is that right? Mulana said no. Why? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't forget the taqween of Allah, said it will never change. This ummah will only leave the dunya until, as the hadith said, malhamatul uzma, you will face up with the most powerful and the most difficult of armies, what they term as the great battle of Islam. And who will lead that battle? None other but Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Al-jihadu ma'zid ila yawm al-qiyamah. Whether you like it or whether you don't like it, jihad in this ummah will remain till the day of yawm al-qiyamah. You can take the iman out of him, you'll never be able to succeed. You can kill this ummah, you can shed his blood, but the spirit of jihad will remain in this ummah till the day of yawm al-qiyamah. Allahu Akbar. Western Europe. This is how powerful the kalam of Allah is. This is how powerful the name of Allah is. They said that time will dawn upon you, you will witness the time, you will experience the time. That the armies will go into Western Europe. And the hadith explained, this particular country, this place, one section will be facing the ocean, the other one will be facing the forest. The power of tahleel, la ilaha illallah. The walls of the empire will fall. Not a single bullet will be fired. This is how powerful the kalam of Allah is. When Sahabas went to war, how did you know it was Sahabas fighting? I will give you an example which we gave them. We can take this message home and this will also encourage us. What the Quran said, Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa. Men Allah have made over women. Now let me show you the woman in the past, what type of woman were they? Abban ibn Sa'id, radiallahu ta'ala, he was in battle against the Romans. Khalid ibn Walid, radiallahu ta'ala, appointed him at a certain door. At that particular gate of the fort, the governor's son-in-law, he was in charge of that section of the army. So as Abban ibn Sa'd proceeded, the governor himself fired an arrow, and in that arrow there was poison. So we learn also that part of our strategy and planning, you should have a bow and arrow as soon as. In Durban you got very, very potent and powerful snakes here. One of the most dangerous and the most poisonous snakes in Africa is found in Natal. So we speak to them, to those snakes, they must help us, we want your poison, and you put it onto the arrow, and bismillah, following that sunnah, you let go. What are they going to say? The Muslims didn't kill that guy. Who killed him? The black mamba bati. Right? So they shot the arrow, and the effect of the poison was in his body, and he retreated. And he died of that. When his wife came to know that my husband, and she was newly married, the mehndi was still on her hands, the fragrance of attar was still in her hair. You can imagine the day or two she was married. She stumbled over her garments until she reached her husband and she fell on him. She contained herself, and what did she say?
Softly she whispered in his ears, "You have achieved your aim and your object. May Allah accept it. Allah grant you the highest stage in the Firdaus. I have made the hand of a man haram upon me. I will revenge your death. And soon I will meet you. Oh Allah, give me the tawfiq and guidance." After Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu buried her, she went back, she donned her armor, and without consent, because the woman was not allowed to go in first line of defense, second line, they were always at the back. She managed to penetrate and she got to the front. When she reached the front lines, she inquired from somebody, "Where did Abban die?" They said, "He died at the door. Do you see that huge man standing there? He is the son-in-law of Hercules. He fired the arrow." She turned unto Allah, "وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى." Allah, you have said, it is not you. Imagine Allah addressed the Holy Prophet, "You did not throw, you did not fire the arrows. It is Allah that fired those arrows." She took her arrow out. Her valor, her courage, her strength, her skills and ability was unique. The first shot she hit, only the eyes of these people are exposed, because that's how they would fight. The armor was completely, and she penetrated his eyes. They could not remove that arrow. He collapsed and he shouted like a wild animal. They finally had to take him into the fort, and they were forced to open the doors of the fort. And victory was given at the hands of one woman. Take the message to your wife, to the children, and tell them. Khalid bin Walid, now those who train in military, no operation is ever the same. You can plan, you can proceed, you have everything, but when you get to the scene, it can be totally different. So every operation, you always keep this in mind, the element of surprise, or there can be a change. Why do I say this to you? The first time when you launch your attack, there was no strong resistance in terms of firepower. Now you can expect to have firepower. So what you will do, you will change your strategy. You can expect now to have, in return, firepower. So you tell your wife and your children, it is crisis. If something happens, don't forget Allah said, you kill and you will be killed. So you can expect loss of life, loss of limb, injuries. So they must be now, they should be informed. The frame of mind should be making, we're in a crisis. And in this crisis, anything can happen. At the same time, Allah can divert that crisis just because of one single man. So nevertheless, he went for a certain operation. And when he got, those were lands of Romans, Christians, and they were masters in training, in warfare. When they saw Khalid bin Walid with the small group, 10, 15, 20, they decided, let's launch an attack on him. And they surrounded him. Khalid bin Walid, radiallahu anhu, when he saw this, he did not look at the enemies. He turned around, removed his sword, and he spoke to the Sahabas, "Wallah, there is no turning back. The next meeting will be at the Hawd al-Kawthar with the beloved master, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And he drew his sword. Ubaidah ibn Jarrah was left in Damascus. And whilst he was relaxing, taking a little break, he saw the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke him up and said, "It is not time to sleep. Your brother Khalid is in difficulty. Rise to the call and proceed." Immediately some Sahabas didn't even put on armor and they went. And as they were proceeding, what did they see? A rider faster than that of lightning appearing. Ubaidah ibn Jarrah instructed his forces, "Get hold of that rider. Who gave that rider consent to go in front of us?" But there was no way they could get hold of that rider. But the rider heard and he turned around. As he came closer to Hazrat Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, he said, "Who are you? Why are you so hasty? Why are you not obeying the instructions of the Amir?" She said, "I am the wife of Khalid bin Walid. So answer me, why are you proceeding before the army?" Every battle that he fought, He had a topi with the Mubarak hair of Rasulullah sallallahu in the day. That particular battle, what did he say? I left that Mubarak topi. That is the reason I'm encountering with this difficulty. And he said, sister, may Allah's mercy be upon you. Proceed. And may Allah assist you. When she got there, he was surrounded with the Roman forces. Look at the valor, look at the strength, look at the courage. She entered the battlefield striking left, right and center. When Khalid saw the rider, he turned his horse to assist the rider. When he got close to the rider, he said, oh rider, tell me, who are you? Are you an angel? Because I'm looking at the movements. She said, I'm none other but your wife. Why did they enter the battlefield? You left the Mubarak hair of Rasulullah. He said, yes indeed. He put on the topi. And wallahi al-azim, through the barakah of that hair, he conquered these Romans. Your question is answered. Jazakallah. Anybody else? Jazakallah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا راحم المساكين ويا أرحم الراحمين يا مونس كل وحيد ويا صاحب كل فريد ويا قريبا غير بعيد ويا شاهدا غير غائب يا غالبا غير مغلوب يا غالبا غير مغلوب اللهم انصرنا ولا تنصر علينا وامكر لنا ولا تمكر علينا ربنا لا تجعلنا فتنة للقوم الظالمين ونجنا برحمتك من القوم الكافرين اللهم اجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تبارك ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم لعن الكفرة الذين يصدون عن سبيلك ويكذبون رسلك ويقاتلون أولياءك اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم وزلزل أقدامهم وأنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين اللهم منزل الكتاب ومجري السحاب وهازم الأحزاب اهزمهم منصرنا عليهم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا واخطانا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم إنا نجعلك في نحورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم اللهم استر عوراتنا وآمن روعاتنا اللهم آمنا في أوطاننا اللهم آمنا في أوطاننا اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وأرنا مناسكنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله على النبي الكريم والحمد لله.